The book of Mark, chapter number 4. The book of Mark, chapter number 4. We'll ask you to stand with us as we read this portion of the Word of God, beginning with verse number 35. Pretty much all week long, I have seen a storm. I've seen storms in people's lives. I believe this morning, no doubt, there are storms going on within your own families, even in this hour. I believe in this portion of Scripture, the Lord has shown me two storms. A second storm I had never really paid attention to before, but it is there. Let's begin reading in Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Lord, we thank you for this time we've had today to sing our praises, lifting our voices unto the Lord. God, we appreciate the good fellowship of this day. We appreciate the kind words of your people. We appreciate the charge that's been laid before the church. God, we pray that you would help us to honor you in all things. Lord, I pray now you'd be our helper as we stand to preach. God, you know what's needful. We know not. But God, I believe that there's a work that needs to be done in this church this morning. And I believe that you're able. There's a work that must be done in our families. And Lord, I believe that you're faithful. And I believe that you're able. Lord, I pray now you'd speak to hearts today. Speak peace to lives. Calm storms. I pray, God, you'd give relief. Thank you, God, for the precious truth, God, that there is a haven, a precious place that we can pull into in the midst of the storm and find rest and find calm and find peace. Give us that today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The Bible says in verse number 37, There arose a great storm of wind. No doubt storms come to each and to every one of us. And here the Lord Jesus is on board the boat with His disciples. And they're going to go across the Sea of Galilee, 13 miles long, about 680 feet below sea level, a little lake that's got a heart shape to it. It's surrounded completely by mountains. And when the winds begin to blow, there's a quick downdraft that forms and can cause sudden storms to approach just like that. Unexpected storms. I thought about those that were over there in the Philippines or over in some of the far eastern countries where a tsunami took place, where the actual place of the earth began to shake and move and there was an earthquake and it caused the ocean to rise unexpectedly and a storm, a great wave was sent their way. Massive destruction. I remember seeing one video of a tsunami that happened a few years ago, and the sea, the ocean itself, went way far yonder out, and people that were walking down along the coastline saw that and thought, wow, we'll just wait out here. What's going on? And about that time, that water backed up, and it crested, and a great wave hit them and swept them and killed many folks. I say to you today, I see a great storm, and I see the power of the storm that comes upon you unexpectedly. Certain these disciples have got Jesus in their boat, and He says, let us pass over unto the other side. These are experienced fishermen. They've seen storms before. They've had problems before. They know how quickly the problems can arise. But typically on the Sea of Galilee, the meteorologists would tell you it is not natural for there to be a storm at nighttime because the temperatures drop and the winds will lay low sometimes there across those hillsides. And this was eventide. So it was an unexpected storm. And I want to say to you this morning that life is just like that. You can be fine today and the bottom be jerked out tomorrow. You can be fine today and the bottom be jerked out tonight. You never know what storm is getting ready to hit you. I'm telling you somebody this morning, the storm that hit your life, you had no idea that it was coming. You've looked and said, I've missed the warning signs. I should have known the winds were picking up. Oh, you had no idea. It was completely unexpected what has happened to you. And Jesus told us, did He not, in John chapter 16 and verse number 33. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, He said, I have overcome the world. We realize there arose a great storm of wind, suddenly and unexpectedly. This sudden storm was very severe. It was so severe, the Bible says in verse 37, that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The ship is rocking and the ship is reeling under the waves. They tell me in the Sea of Galilee that the waves can get as high as 20 feet tall. And certainly these fishermen had been in the storms before, but now the boat's taking on water. They had not seen one just like this. They had been rowing and tolling and doing all they knew to do. And finally it got so bad, they saw that the waves were coming into the ship, 20 feet tall they were. They could not stop it, and they felt like their boat was about ready to sink. Have you ever felt like that your family was getting ready to sink? Have you ever felt like your personal life was getting ready to sink? Have you ever felt like your financial crisis was getting ready to take you right down to the bottom? That's exactly the way these men felt, because the storm is violent. So violent that they could not see. They could not see the shore. If they could see the shore, they'd feel better. But it was also dark. If they had, ain't it amazing how a little light sometimes will make you feel better? You know, in the middle of the night, when you think the worst, and night terror comes on, and boy, you just wish for the daylight. And somehow in the middle of your depressed state, when the sunshine gets up, it uplifts your spirit. These men are in a storm. They can't see the light. They can't see the shore. They are certainly in trouble. They feel like they're in a terrible danger. There's a lot of different types of storms. You may be here today, and there's a storm of sickness that has arisen. You had no idea the malady that was in your body. You had no idea the sickness that you are going to have to endure this last little while. I mean, this time a year ago, smooth sailing. This time a month ago, things were great. But all of a sudden, sickness has come. And now there's a lot of question marks and a lot of worries. Some of you have storms of suffering. I'm telling you what, you've been going through pain for months and months and months. Now it's been years. You look around and you say, well, the church has always been there to help people. They help people who have sickness that lasts for a certain amount of time. But sometimes when folks have an extended illness, it seems like the church does not care. That's the way you feel today. I tell you what, it's because your boat's taking on water right now. And you feel like this storm of suffering, the pain and the agony you're going through, nobody else in the church feels it. And you know what the truth of the matter is? You're right. Nobody else knows how you feel in the storm you're in. Nobody knows but Jesus. Thank God He's on board your boat, amen, when you go through the storm of sickness and the storm of suffering. There are those of you that go through the storm of sorrow. You had no idea that death was going to invade your family. Grief has overtaken. Heartbreak and heartache surround your life. You can't hardly talk about it with people. They just don't understand, y'all. You're in a storm today, and you have no choice but to go right on through it. But I'm glad Jesus, who allowed this storm to come, says, let us, means He's with you, pass over unto the other side. He's the one going to get you through the storm of sickness, the storm of suffering, and the storm of sorrow. There's also a storm of sin, made by our own doings, our own wrongdoings. And the chastising hand of God comes down amongst us and begins to whip us, and storms come into our life. I certainly could tell you about David and Bathsheba, who had a storm of sin. They got caught up in the moment, caught up in lust for one another. And you may say, well, everybody's doing it. I'm telling you what, God don't agree with it. God began to beat down and whip in that family, and one little child that was born to him got sick, and the Bible says the child died. It was because of a storm of sin. You realize the storm of sin begins with a breeze of calm. Oh, how refreshing this looks. But I'm telling you what, it'll rip through your soul and tear your entire world completely apart just like that. An unexpected storm of sin. I tell you what, any one of us in this building is susceptible to going through the storm of sin. If you think you're above and beyond that, friend, you're not thinking rationally. Amen? I see also here, there's a lot of source here. Now, we thought about the Sea of Galilee being susceptible to storms, and we realize about the source of the storm. Sometimes it's of our own making. But sometimes God does allow a storm. This storm of suffering and sickness and sorrow. Maybe God allows the storm to come in your life. Well, what did we ever do to deserve that? Well, what do you think about yourself? Do you think yourself too good to go through a storm? Huh? Well, we're faithful to the church. We read the Bible. We love God. Why should I have to go through the storm? God, it just seems so unfair that you would afflict me with storms. Why would Jesus say, let us go the other side and then put me through a storm? I don't like it. Pardon me, but you don't get a vote. You called on Him as your Savior and you put Him in control of your life, you don't get a vote. And if you did, you'd lose. Well, preacher, I just don't... What about Job? Well, I read about Job, but it ain't really fair. Hey, the Bible said he was a perfect man. One that feared God. One that eschewed evil. One who went and offered a sacrifice for his sins and even for the sins of his family. All 10 of his youngins and all of his servants. Hey, when's the last time you got down and prayed, God forgive the preacher? You're so concerned and consumed with yourself, you ain't got time to pray for nobody else. But yet you think you're too good to go through a storm. Those disciples, the Bible said that they had left off. They had forsook everything they had to follow Jesus. Did you give up your job? Did you give up your career? Did you leave the school where you loved to go and attend? Did you give up your future? Everything you knew, did you walk away from it? Hello? I'm talking to you. You that sit here and say, I don't deserve a storm. These men gave up everything to follow Jesus. Everything they had and everything they knew, they sacrificed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, they're in a storm. A storm that the Lord has allowed to come their direction. And the reason He did was to cause them to trust Him. You forgot about trusting God. You started trusting yourself. You started trusting in your family. Trusting in your own human wisdom. In your talent. And in your skill. But the Lord says, let me bring you down off your high horse and show you how weak you really are. I'll cause a little storm, a little puff of wind to come your direction. And I'm telling you, you'll fall to your knees and beg God and say, oh Lord, where you at? Don't you care about me? Hey, I'm talking to you, someone who's in a storm right now in this life. I'm telling you what, God may allow a storm to come to you. But I think also the devil could try to send a storm. And it can only get to you if God allows it. Why would the devil do that? Well, let me tell you what, he wants to destroy Jesus. Maybe if the devil's sitting in this storm, he knows that Jesus is going over the other side. Jesus and us pass over on the other side, and the devil says, I want to send a storm to stop him. I'm going to hinder him. Maybe the devil somehow knew that on the other side was the land of the Gadarenes. Maybe the devil somehow knew on the other side when he said he was going over the lake. He said, man, I got a fella over there named Legion. I got a bunch of my cronies, old devils, full of him. I mean, we're having a time with him in the graveyard up there, cutting himself and flipping over stones. If Jesus passes over, what if he goes over there and sees Legion? Well, that won't be good. He's liable to cast all of us out. I better stop this thing. Let's send a little storm to him. Let's try to hinder him and drown him out there on the sea. Let's get rid of his disciples, those that follow him as well. I'm telling you what, the devil would delight to send you a storm to try to discredit you, to try to hinder this church, stop your belief and your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see the power of a sudden and a severe and a sourceful storm? I say to you, second of all, do you see the problem of the storm? Now, the storm's not just on the Sea of Galilee. I say there's two storms here. We've seen the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Lightning crashing, rain falling, maybe hail falling from the sky. We realize the waves are coming up and the winds are bashing. We see that storm. But I see a second storm, and I believe we see it in the disciples. They'd had a peaceful calm. They'd seen some wonderful things. Look back here at Mark chapter 1 with me real quick. They'd seen some good things. In Mark chapter number 1, down here in verse number 16, down through verse 20, we see Jesus calling His disciples. Ain't that wonderful when Jesus calls your name and you follow Him? We see Him in verses 23 through 28. We see Him, or verses 21 and 22, we see Him counseling with His doctrine to hear the Word of Jesus. Can you imagine what it must have been like? How special to hear Jesus speak with His own words right here on this earth. What a blessing that must have been. We see verses 23 through 28 as Jesus cast out devils. Man, that must have been exciting if you was a saved person believing in Jesus to see the devil on the run. Amen. And then we read from verses number 29 through verses 42 where He cured the disease. He healed Peter's mother-in-law and He healed a leper as well. That must have been great, seeing sick people be healed. We certainly can look at this and see His compassion. We can look at this and see His goodness. We see this. But these disciples are afraid of the storm. They've just seen His power to cast devils out and to cure the disease when nobody else could. But to believe Him for their storm, they could not. Do you see where the storm is? It's in their heart. The Bible says they became afraid. They were exceeding fearful, other Gospels would tell you. They went back to where Jesus was laying there asleep. The disciples are afraid. Where's the storm? It's in their heart. Tell you what, you got one in yours too. There's not just a storm around you, a financial crisis and depression and doom and gloom and all kinds of problems that's going on, but there's a question mark in your heart of fear. You're afraid. It got me thinking about that. You see, the reason they're afraid of the storm is they're looking at their situation and they're not looking at their Savior. I want to ask you today, quit looking at your situation. I know it's bad. I know my words cannot help you, but Jesus can. He has power over all things. Quit looking at the situation and look at the Savior. You see, their problem is they doubted His goodness. They'd seen Him having compassion and doing good works for other people, but they didn't believe He could do it for them. Say amen. That's our problem. We doubt the goodness of God extended to us. He's blessed. I've read this Bible. I know what He's done for everybody else, but can He do it for me? You doubt the goodness of God. I want to say, second of all, you doubt the grace of God. Not only did they say to Him, they said, Master, carest thou not, doubting His goodness, but they say, that we perish, doubting His grace. Jesus called them. They faithfully forsook all that they had. Now they think, He's going to let us die. He's going to forsake us now. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'll never leave you. Amen. And I will never forsake you. Never leaving you says, I'm not going to allow you to sink. And I'm never going to forsake you. When the storm gets on, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Guess what He's done for you? He redeemed you by His blood. He gave His life that you might be saved. Do you really think, after that great work that He's done for you, that He's just going to allow you to sink? Do you allow... The grace of God saved you. And now you think you're going to go down? Now you think you're going to die, disciples? No. You're doubting the grace of God. That you're going to perish? Oh, no. My Bible says we will never perish. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Amen? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Let me remind you this morning that no matter how great your storm is, His grace is still sufficient. Paul prayed three times. He's in a great storm. A storm of suffering and a storm of sorrow. He had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times, God, take it away. I mean, probably the greatest preacher outside the Lord Jesus. Take it away, Lord. I believe, Lord. I believe. I believe. God said, no. My grace is sufficient. Hey, I'm glad God can't... Listen, He can take you right through the storm. Amen? Because His grace is sufficient. I think the doubt is guaranteed. Look what He said to him, verse 35. Let us pass over unto the other side. If they, that's what Jesus said. They're passing over. No storm's going to take them out. If you really, or if they really, believe the Word of God, if they really believed what Jesus said, let us pass over, they could have shouted in the face of that storm. The winds could have been blowing. They could have said, whoa, glory to God. A rain coming down. Well, glory to God. Bless us, Jesus. The waves are coming up. It's all right, boys. Jesus is on board our vessel. And He said, we're going to the other side. It's going to be all right. Glory. Hallelujah. But see, they did not believe His guarantee, His promise. And that's your promise. That's your problem. He's made all these promises, but you think it's to somebody else. He said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, I'm going to take care of you. He said, don't worry what you're going to do tomorrow. Don't worry what you're going to wear tomorrow. He said, I'm going to provide for you. It's going to be all right. That's what He said. I'm glad to have old Josh here today. I've seen this military uniform. Well, Josh, you know, there was a young boy. He went out and got married. And he was a military officer, had a big long sword. And him and his wife, a new bride, on their honeymoon voyage on a sea-going vessel there, and a storm struck, lit in on them. And his wife got afraid, very afraid. And even some of the sailors were getting concerned. But this great military officer said, honey, it's going to be all right. Just trust the Lord. She said, you're irritating me, this trust the Lord business. I'm afraid and scared to death. Why can't you have more compassion? He took out his sword out of its sheath and put its point right up to her throat. He looked at her and he said, aren't you afraid? She said, I'm not afraid of a sword in the hand of one who loves me. He said, neither am I afraid in the midst of a storm controlled by one who loves me. Don't you doubt His guarantees. Don't you doubt His grace. Amen. Don't you dare doubt. Let me say this and I'm done. There's a purpose in this storm. There's a purpose to your storm too. Preacher, why, you've lost your ever-loving mind. You hear me? You just don't believe. Listen, you've got a Bible. You read all that. You believe it. But you don't apply it personally. You hear people testify, God brought me through a storm. Look how good God's been to me. And you see that and you know God brought them through. You're sure of that, but you say, that's great. But this is me we're talking about here. Murphy's Law applies. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Nothing good ever happens to me. Hey, man, that's the way you think. And so God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a little storm. Wait a minute, I already told you I'm afraid. I already told you I got problems. He said, I'm going to send you a little storm. I've got a purpose for the storm. He said, I want you, number one, the purpose of the storm, I want you to know my power. What? The disciples are terrified, but Jesus is asleep. They come and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, they begin to shake him, you know, arousing him there. He stood up and he said this. He said, peace be still. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He speaks to the storm, peace, be still. And the winds calm, and the seas laid down. And the disciples were amazed. and said, what manner of this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Jesus can silence your storm. Or He can let you sail right on through it and protect you all the way. Not only to know His power, but His promise. Just like He said, look at it, verse number 35. Let us pass over on the other side. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. This storm came on them. It was bad. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. They found His promises are just as good as He says. You know what He told us? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. There's old Doubting Thomas. Lord, how can we know the way? He said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. I've got power. I am in charge, and I want you to know My promises are good. Let me say this. You know why He let the storm come in your life? To show you His presence. Listen, you're not going to make it through this thing on your own. That's why you're down here saying, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, it's going to be all right because I'm with you. He was on board the boat with them. Look here. The Bible says down here in verse number 36, there were also with Him other little ships. But only one of them had Jesus on board. Hey, have you got Jesus on board the boat with you? Hello? Is He inside your soul? Is He on board the boat with you? Well, I say to you, glory to God, because Jesus was there with them, only one of those boats knew that they could go and call on Him. Because He's on board. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Only one of those boats actually had the Lord on board to call on Him and to see Him stand up and to hear His word. Peace. Be still. Lord of God, to hear His word. To see His moving in the midst of a storm. Glory to God. Only one of those boats knew that. And guess which one it was? The one that had received Jesus on board the vessel. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad He's on board my boat. When the storms of life come calling on me, it's going to be okay because Jesus is with me and we're going through. He wants us to know about His presence and then His purpose. We see Him heal leper, cast out demons, heal Peter's mother-in-law. We've seen all that. And if He'll do that, He'll take care of you in your storm too. Amen. Now I want to say something to you, and I'm going to ask you to stand. You're doubting. You're doubting, oh Lord, the Bible and all its principles and truth. I believe all that. But can You help me now, Lord? I mean in my storm that I'm in right now, Lord. The Bible says in verse number 39, and He arose. He was laying there in the middle of that storm, sound asleep. You know why? He's in control. Storm don't bother Him. He's in control. Them disciples terrified to death. Master! Get up, Master! Don't you care that we're going to perish? My Bible said, He arose. Hey, He gave His life on the cross for my sin and your sin. And they buried Him. There's no denying any of those truths. All those are factually recorded all through history. Amen. Guess what? When death said, I've got Him, and the storm was rolling in on all of humanity, what are we going to do now? Our Savior has been taken away. What do we do now? The storm of death has control. The sting of death is in charge. What are we going to, who do we turn to now? How will the lepers be healed? How will the blind get back their sight? How will the deaf hear? Lord, what are we going to do? But on the first day of the week, He arose. If He defeated death for you, I mean it did the complete impossible for you, I'm persuaded this morning that right now, He's able to handle your puff of wind. He's able to handle the waves beating on board your ship. He's able to help you today if you'd but come to Him. So with your head bowed, nobody looking. I believe with all my heart. Someone come play this morning. I believe with all my heart. There's some folks here in this building. There's a storm. It's hit hard. Oh, preacher, if I slip down that altar, what am I admitting to? You're admitting to the fact that you need the help of God in the middle of a storm. And I promise you, there is not one person under the sound of my voice that's not been through a storm. Probably many of you are going through a storm right now. And for all you know, waiting for you this evening is a phone call that's going to change your world. Your world's getting ready to fall to pieces. Don't look at the situation. Look at the Savior. This storm's coming. It's unexpected. But I'm telling you what, y'all, you can prepare for the storm. I did not read where Jesus said, "Let us now pass over even the other side," where these men had any time for preparation. They just got on board the boat. Simple journey, 13 miles across the way. But you know what? You and I, you've got opportunity to prepare. Folks are coming, glory to God. Would you come? Say, "Lord, we're in a storm. We come before You. We ask Your help, Lord. Show us Your compassion. Show us Your ability to say, 'Peace, be still.' Or let Your grace be sufficient to take us safely through. God, today I believe the storm has come that we might trust You and know more about Your power. Lord, as we bow in Your presence, we are thankful this morning that You are on board the boat with us because we received You in. And God, now You've said it's time for a storm to take place. I want to show You my power. I want to show You my presence. I want to show You my peace. I want to show You things that are too wonderful for You to ever get a hold of until You get in the storm. Lord, I want to thank You for the stormy situations that You've allowed to come into my life. Lord, I've not always been thankful for them. Many times I've complained and I've murmured because the storm was so great. And I missed the Savior in the storm. And God, I pray, God, You'd hear us when we say, Lord, thank You for in the midnight hour You showed Yourself. Lord, and when I wasn't looking for You, there was another storm that rolled up there, and You came walking on the sea in the fourth watch of the night. And You said, 'It is I. Be not afraid.' We can be a good cheer about that, Lord. Now, God, I pray for these that's in the storm. The devil's trying to divide them and to devour them and to destroy them. But, God, You allowed the storm not for their destruction, but that they might trust You and depend on You greater than they've ever done before. And this thing has backfired on the devil. Ha! Glory, hallelujah. Because Your people, even in the midst of the storm, still want to trust You. So today, God, we don't look at the situation. We don't look at the storm. But we look at our Savior who's in control. And Lord, I'm not afraid of the storm when it's in the hands of the One who loves me. You are the master of my storm. And I know I'll make it safely through. Thank You, Jesus. Amen and amen." Thank you.
I'm glad to report to the devil, we're going through. We're going through, amen. It's going to be all right. God's still blessing His people. Though the storm may rage and the winds may howl, God's still blessing His people. Amen. Amen. Well, remember this evening we meet at 5 o'clock for Christmas play practice. If you want to help us, it'd be wonderful. We'll find a place for you. We need your help for sure. And remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Man, Lord's laid something on our heart to preach tonight. Lord willing, we'll get to preach it. Just whatever God wants. Amen? Amen. Good day. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.